Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 23. Today we're going to continue in the series we started the other day about dealing with the heart. And we spoke about giving God your heart and what that means and what the heart in fact is and the significance of giving Him your heart. Today we're going to take another look at the heart from a different angle. In verse 6, the Word of God says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words." As the man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, we are often acquainted with this passage, and we see it as, well, the contents of my thoughts are who I really am. But it goes much deeper than that. One of the things that amazes me about the Word of God is how true it is on all levels. It's never just on a superficial level. It's true on the most superficial level to the deepest possible level, which I can't even figure out. But on every level of life, on every level of experience, it is absolute truth. And likewise here, as a man thinks in his heart, that is the way he is. A lot of people will present themselves as being something other than what they are. This is a person you don't deal with. You keep your distance as far as your heart goes, as far as your thinking goes, as far as your decisions goes, you keep your distance. You may reach out to them in an evangelistic endeavor, but you still keep your distance on a personal level. Why? Because as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. And when I start to eat the dainty meats of one who is not a friend to God, then I am entrapped by that person. This is why Pastor Stevens always taught you never eat with an accuser. Why? Because you'll become entrapped by that person. And likewise here, someone who causes division or someone who is not with the body as far as in their heart in oneness, even if not particularly necessarily in call, but in oneness with the Spirit of God to be in this oneness of the body, you keep their distance. Somebody who perhaps is self-interest and they don't know, the person with them doesn't know that there is self-interest rather than the interest of God. And if they have charisma, they can deceive people. You keep your distance. Why? Because it will enter into your heart. What you take in always enters into your heart. And somebody starts, let's say, flattering, and it enters into your heart. But if they're not right with God, then what has entered in your heart becomes very deceptive. Now, we have to understand, and it bears repeating briefly, what the heart is. Pastor Stevens, and we talked about it Friday, Pastor Stevens gave an elaborate, precise, detailed definition of the heart. However, it boils down to this. If you take his definition, it can be expressed in this. The heart is your frame of reference. It's simply your frame of reference. But the frame of reference is profound. I'm not talking about point of view. And I'm not talking about point of reference. I'm talking about frame of reference. The frame of reference is the foundation for everything in your life. All your perceptions go through your frame of reference. It is established by it. I may have one frame of reference here, one thing, and to me it's edifying. Or I may have a frame of reference here, the same thing, and to me it's unedifying. It's all about my frame of reference. There is your heart. Now, the frame of reference is not something that I can really determine. I use my free volition to establish it. But I can't control that frame of reference, because much of that frame of reference is made up by my subconscious mind. And I have no control whatsoever over my subconscious mind. It's just there, and it is extremely powerful in a person's life. There's some neuropsychologists studying the subconscious mind. And they got a group of volunteers who would come in for the study, and they told them, when you get to this building, go to such and such a room, and that's where the study will take place. And they all came in at different times anticipating entering this room, maybe taking some tests. But that wasn't the study. The study was that as they were going to that room, they ran into a secretary in the hallway who dropped her books. They helped her pick them up. She asked them, can you give me a hand? She gave them a cup of coffee. Some people she gave cold coffee to, some people she gave warm coffee to. Then, when they got to the room, they asked them questions, not about their lives or themselves, but about the secretary. Their perception of the secretary was not determined by her demeanor. Invariably, in every instance, their perception of the secretary was determined by the cup of coffee. If it was a warm cup, she was a warm, welcoming, gentle, kind person. If it was a cold cup, she was aloof, a little bit rude, not a pleasant person. She said the exact same thing to everyone. There was a script. But what she was like was determined by them, in their estimation, by the cup of coffee, and they didn't know it. Why? It's the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind makes up our frame of reference to a large extent. It doesn't filter, it has none. It simply receives what is given to it and assimilates it. Then, when I enter into an evaluation of sorts, it's my subconscious mind that does a lot of the evaluating with information from my conscious mind. When that takes place, the subconscious mind will determine my experiences. Some people had an experience with a pleasant young woman. Some people had an experience with what they thought was an unpleasant woman. It was the exact same experience. The only thing that changed was the coffee. That's the power of what I allow to get into my frame of reference. So, as I think in my heart, my frame of reference, so am I. The entirety of my experience on earth, not my position, but my experience on earth, is going to be determined by that frame of reference. Whether I see God as a positive figure or a negative one is determined by my frame of reference. Whether my experiences, the details of my life, are positive or negative is determined by my frame of reference. The frame of reference is the basis of everything that I think and evaluate, everything that I consider, is the foundation of the mind. Now remember, there's a difference between the brain and the mind. The brain is the machine. The mind is the programming. And so, if I have the mind of Christ, the same machine that can give me a negative experience as a positive experience will determine that experience based on the mind that I possess. That's my frame of reference. Sometimes you see this. Let's say somebody loses a child. Some people, well, they are all hurt. Some people see it as a sweet pain, where God's gentleness and mercy comes in and envelops them. Pain nonetheless, but of a very different quality. Other people see it as an extremely bitter thing. And perhaps they get very angry with God about it. Different frame of reference. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That frame of reference determines absolutely everything about us. If the frame of reference is the Word of God, the promises of God, the character of God, then everything that I estimate, everything that I consider, everything that I analyze in my life is going to be rooted in those things. If the frame of reference is myself, and self being also sight, because it is that part of the tree of knowledge, it is sight, right? The tree of knowledge is a tree of sight and self-consciousness. Knowledge there in the original language is talking about empirical knowledge. Everything in that tree is based in self-orientation of one sort or another. Not necessarily the negative connotation that we usually give it. It can be on the good side of the tree. But it's a self-conscious orientation. Everything there is a frame of reference. See, why God told them to avoid that tree is a twofold reason. In Ezekiel 31:18, it was Satan's tree. Satan's tree produced Satan's fruit. Satan's tree, Ezekiel told us, was orientation toward his own beauty. Satan's tree was orientation to self. Self-consciousness. And out of that self-consciousness stemmed evaluation. And when he trafficked that merchandise, what he was doing was trafficking an evaluation and challenging the other angels in heaven to do the same. The ones that obviously judged against God fell. The ones that judged for Him fell also. Because the judgment was not the issue, the orientation was. Can I stand in judgment of God to say good or evil? Absolutely not. But that was what he was doing with them. That's also what he did with Eve, just with different details. She stood in judgment of God's Word. Why? Self-orientation. That's exactly what Satan shoots for in people's lives, is self-orientation. And the reason is, if he can change who we are, then he can change who is manifested. If he changes me through self-orientation from being one who is focused entirely on God, whose frame of reference is the Word of God, just like Adam and Eve were in the garden, if he can take me from that point and get me to be self-conscious, where albeit I may live on the good side of the tree of knowledge, but it's still ultimately all about self. The result is in every situation that I will separate myself from God. And I will start manifesting the things of self rather than the things of God. I won't be a reflection of Christ, I'll be a reflection of self. And this is what happened in the garden. In the garden, they hid themselves because they knew they were naked. And Jesus says, how did you know that you were naked? Where did you get this point of self-orientation? Now, their condition never changed while they were in the garden before they ate and after they ate. They were in exactly the same condition. They were naked before, they were naked after. In self-orientation, they looked at themselves and said, I'm naked. Prior to self-orientation, their frame of reference was the Word of God, and their condition didn't even occur to them. What had changed was their thinking because of their orientation, and as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so we have to be very careful about what we allow into that frame of reference. Satan was exceedingly subtle. And Genesis 3:1 tells us as much. Satan was exceedingly subtle. And so he didn't attack outwardly initially. He just got Eve to start thinking. But to think apart from a frame of reference being God, getting her to the point where she would be her own frame of reference, but in order to do that, he had to remove the Word from her frame of reference. And so he challenged the Word of God. Once the Word of God was removed as her frame of reference, then she was her frame of reference. If she's her frame of reference, Satan can suggest anything he likes and she'll go with it. If I am my own frame of reference through self-consciousness, the enemy can suggest anything he likes and I'll go with it. Why? Because it will seem to be quite reasonable. He'll whisper in my ear in a projection, and it may not be an obvious projection, because it's not all attack. It's the goal is attack, but it's not all attack. Let's say, that tree is mighty good looking for food, don't you think, Eve? We know that she left the Word as her frame of reference because when she answered him, when he said, did God really say, does it make any sense? And that's what it says in the original language. Does it make any sense that you would be able to eat of any tree of the garden but not this one? Does that make any sense to you at all, Eve? Does it make sense to you? New frame of reference. Why? Self-consciousness. And she said, God said we won't eat of it or touch it. Now she's interpreting the Word of God through self-consciousness. Because she's becoming conscious of her own temptation. Which, because she had a definition from God, became a point of focus. And for a season, she tried to protect herself. We're not going to even touch it. God didn't say that. Why didn't God say, don't touch it? Because it wasn't about the touching of the tree. It was about internalizing what the tree was. And so, she ate of the tree, really, as she was talking to the enemy. And then the physical act of eating from the tree was simply a manifestation of what had already taken place in her heart. It was changed. In a sense, she became a different person because she took on different thinking. When I do that, I become a different person. When I leave the Word of God for thinking with self-orientation, I become a different person. However, it works the other way also. When I leave worldly thinking for thinking with the Word of God, I become the practical manifestation of the new creation. Remember something about our thoughts. Our thoughts affect directly our mirror neurons in our brain. The mirror neurons, for those who might not know on the internet, are brain cells that register during certain experiences. If I look at someone conducting an activity, as they are conducting that activity, certain brain cells are triggered and firing. However, as I'm observing them conducting that activity, the same brain cells in my brain as in theirs are triggered and are firing. And so I essentially can live vicariously. I can get the experience of something without ever having participated in the action. This is why it's so important to protect the eye gate and the ear gate. Because I can get the experience of something without actually participating in the action. Because in my brain, the same brain cells are firing, and as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I see a football player score a touchdown, I get the same elation that he does. This is why the Europeans go insane at a soccer game. Because they get the same experience as the guy who scored the goal. It works like that in all aspects of our lives. Meditations produce the same things. Mirror neurons firing, giving me certain experiences. This is why we meditate on the things of the Word of God, of the Bible. We meditate on the Word of God. We meditate on His character and His promises, and we get the experience of the character and promises. And when they actually, let's say it's a promise, when it is actually fulfilled, we simply enter into what we've already experienced. Now, here's the other component. My genetics is profoundly influenced by those mirror neurons. Because the epigenome, that portion of my genetics that turns on and off my genes and determines how long they will be on, how long they will be off, which ones will be on, which ones will be off, that part of my genetics is malleable. In other words, my experiences influence the way that my genes are expressed. When that takes place, and the Word of God is my frame of reference, I go into the literal quality of being, in fact, a new creation, because over a billion cells in my body are replaced every hour. And so I'm literally becoming who I am in Christ. Because every single one of those cells in my body has a full complement of that genetic material. And now it's a new epigenome that's regulating the genes as determined by the Word of God in my frame of reference. And so the same situation, the same circumstance that may have been negative to me as the old creation becomes very positive to me as a new one. And it no longer induces things like hormonal response due to stress. I see God's hand in things where I didn't see them, and it actually produces joy in my heart rather than stress hormones throughout my body giving me a heart attack. People who are believers look different than unbelievers very frequently. People get saved and they look different than they were unsaved. Why? That's a physical fact. You can look at them, you can see it. Why? Because their mirror neurons are now influencing their epigenome and their genes are being expressed, which even alters sometimes their physical appearance. The heart is a profoundly powerful thing. And when my subconscious mind, which influences so much of my frame of reference, is filled with the character and the Word of God, that is who I am. I am the new creation. I am the literal reflection of Christ. Because His character is being produced in me, I'm being conformed into that image by having the right frame of reference and the right things placed into that frame of reference. When that takes place, I'm not movable. This is where Adam and Eve were prior to the fall. At the fall, they became self-oriented through self-consciousness. Started observing their condition rather than what God's Word being their frame of reference, their own evaluation became their frame of reference. Now, they knew before the fall that they were naked, I'll guarantee it. It just wasn't in their frame of reference. But after the fall, being naked was in their frame of reference. And then guilt, shame, and fear come in. But it was the same condition. Different experience changed who they were, because the experience was determined by a new frame of reference. Now, being naked was not sin. The separation did not take place because they were naked. Being naked was their condition all along. The separation came through self-consciousness, not through nakedness. My separation from God, or my drawing near to God, is going to be based on my frame of reference. If my frame of reference is not the right frame of reference, I'm going to hide myself from God. If my frame of reference is the right frame of reference, I'm going to draw near to Him in the same circumstances. The Word of God says in John 3:18 that he that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son. If I don't have, through faith, as my frame of reference, the finished work of Christ, I'm going to be condemned in my own heart. And there may be situations where I don't do anything that I'm not supposed to do, and I'm still condemned. Here's the thing. What, in fact, is sin? What is sin? Well, Romans 14:23 tells me that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The law for righteousness' sake has never been a reality toward mankind. Now, there are things, of course, that can separate me from fellowship with God, and we don't want to go there. That's another topic altogether, and we don't want to do those things either. And so we don't enter into things like adultery or lying or drug abuse or whatever. Those things are, in fact, separations from God, because at that point, two are not agreed, and therefore they are not walking together. But that's another story. What, in fact, is sin? You see, that separation that from God that may take place in what we call outward sin took place long before the action. Eve was separated in her thinking from the Word of God long before she ate of the tree. And so, that is really nothing more than a manifestation of what has already taken place. The sin portion came when there was a lack of faith toward the Word and the character of God, therefore removing it from the frame of reference. When it becomes removed from my frame of reference, everything to me is sin. You see, in Romans 14:23 it says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith." The condemnation came from the lack of faith. This is why in 1 John 3:20 the Word of God says that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. Because it is not the action per se, but the condition of the heart and the frame of reference that heart possesses. What is the foundation of our frame of reference? That's the issue. As soon as it is self, then I enter into condemnation when there is no condemnation. In Romans 14:14, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And so it can be about what I do, it can be about what I eat, it can be about who I talk to, it can be about what I think. It doesn't matter. It's, if it's unclean in my frame of reference, if it's a reference of self-orientation, it's always going to be unclean. And it doesn't matter what it is. But if it's a reference of God orientation, the Word of God being my frame of reference, nothing is unclean. Now, what does Satan do when people fail? He does exactly what happened to the woman caught in adultery. He brings her before God and he starts accusing her. Why is he accusing? Why does Satan have a ministry of accusation in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10? The reason is because if he can accuse me, then he can keep my orientation, my frame of reference, to be rooted in self-consciousness. So on the one hand, through self-consciousness, he gets me to fail. On the other hand, through self-consciousness, he gets me to add sin unto sin. And if he can get Christians accusing people, then he's got Christians doing his job for him. On the other hand, if God has Christians through the Holy Spirit practicing a ministry of reconciliation, then they are actually within the ministry of Christ Himself. Because He reconciles all things unto Himself. And so again, it becomes a question of my frame of reference. No one is ever offended with the Word of God as their frame of reference. No one ever gives place to the devil with the Word of God as their frame of reference. Nobody fails when the Word of God is their frame of reference. The only time when those things take place are in self-consciousness. And so we guard our hearts against that self-consciousness, but here's the thing. The old sin nature, which is a nature of self-consciousness, is resident in my DNA. I have Adam's sin nature, and that's the only thing I got from Adam, was DNA. So that tells me that self-consciousness is my natural condition, which is also what the Word of God told us. We are counted to be in sin even as we are born, so that grace may be given unto us. I'm born with that. So God consciousness has to enter. Self-consciousness can be passively expressed. Pastor Stevens once said, nobody has ever simply drifted into heaven, but many simply drift into hell. It's like that with my frame of reference also. In my frame of reference, I can drift into self-consciousness. But God consciousness is actively produced. And I have to use my volition and faith responses to enter into that God consciousness. So the believer who chooses in objectivity to receive from God, whether they feel like it or not, has nothing to do with their emotions one way or the other. By the way, whether you're operating in faith is also not based on your emotions. If I choose to function in objective truth according to God's word, not as a law, but because it is reality and I accept it as such, then my volition is going to respond through my believing of God's Word, also known as faith, in such a way that I have certain decisions being made. When I operate in that, I'm going to establish the right frame of reference for myself because I'll receive the right things. When I don't operate in that, self-conscious nature is already present in my physical body. And so I can just ignore the word and self-consciousness will come up. The wrong frame of reference leading to everything being wrong in my life. See, to the pure, everything is impure, but to those who have a defiled mind through self-consciousness, everything is defiled. There is no possibility for right interpretation or understanding. If somebody does something against me and I'm living in self-consciousness, I may be deeply wounded or hurt or offended. If somebody does something against me and I'm living in God consciousness, often I won't even notice. Why? Because we don't see the heat when it comes. And so it really is a question of my frame of reference. The person that I become is pretty much in its entirety determined by that frame of reference. My subconscious mind, which is not discriminating, will determine a large portion of that frame of reference. This is why we don't look at certain things. Let's say I look at something suggestive on television. I'm allowing certain thoughts and ideas into my mind. This is why the liberals like to say, you've got to be open-minded, you've got to be open-minded. That's foolishness. You open your mind to the right things, you close your mind to the wrong things. When I allow certain thoughts and ideas, let's say through the television and an unclean program into my mind, I'm establishing them as my frame of reference. And I'm corrupting that frame of reference. But even more than that, that establishment of the frame of reference is being reinforced by experience and by me becoming physically different by the thoughts I have allowed. Because my mirror neurons are going to respond to whatever I'm watching and it's going to give me the experience of what I'm viewing. So if I'm watching an unclean program on television, I'm going to have an unclean experience. That unclean experience will then influence my epigenome, and it will start to change the way that my DNA is expressed as each new cell is being produced at a rate of more than a billion an hour. I'm becoming someone different. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Likewise, maybe I've had a lifestyle like that. Maybe I've had a lifestyle that was promiscuous or a lifestyle that was careless. And I start receiving from the Word of God. And I start receiving the finished work. And I start receiving the love of God. And I start receiving the character of Christ. And I start receiving the fullness of who He is through the full counsel and the Holy Spirit's implementation of that Word to my frame of reference. What happens then? That Word of God, as I'm meditating on it, has an impact on my mirror neurons. My experiences are changed, and the change of experiences changes my epigenome. The way that my DNA is expressed changes into godliness, and every single one of those cells that is being reproduced at that rate of over a billion an hour is changed toward godliness. I become the new creation through the right frame of reference. We usually think of the new creation as simply a condition before God, but it's not. In Revelation 1:5, for example, the blood washes away sin. It doesn't cover it like a paint of like a coat of paint. It washes it away. It's a detergent. It's not a whitewash. As I mix faith with what I hear, the reality of the finished work changes my frame of reference, and in changing my frame of reference, it literally changes me, even in my physical body, into the new creation. On the other hand, as a believer, it is possible for me to backslide, start living like I did prior to salvation, and now I start experiencing what it is to be dead to Christ. And my body will reflect it. Now, when our light turns into darkness, how great is that darkness? And this is why those types of people are frequently taken home early, unless they get right with God again. But that's difficult. And so I preserve my frame of reference, using the volition as the guardian, and I become who God says I am. Positional truth on earth is not much use unless it can become experiential. That's why God tells us so much about positional truth and nothing else about heaven. Because He wants me to become who I am. And I do it through that frame of reference. The man has a frame of reference, and that is who he is. It's what his life manifests. It's his identity. It's everything about him. It's his fruits. It's his details of life. It is his full experience. Amen.